Good morning and welcome to the Acromegaly Update for Monday, June 8th, 2026. Today's episode has two segments. First, we're covering a landmark special issue in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism that just dropped 5 major papers on acromegaly all at once. Then we're zooming out to the wider rare disease industry, where Alnylam is making a billion-dollar bet on artificial intelligence, the FDA's fast-track voucher program is under fire, and analysts are projecting an enormous future for the orphan drug market. Let's get into it. Segment 1. Acromegaly Research. Clinicians and researchers studying acromegaly have reason to be excited this week. The Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism published what appears to be a dedicated special issue on acromegaly, releasing 5 significant papers simultaneously on June 4th. This is a rare event, a coordinated synthesis of the field's current state and future direction, all in one place. Let me walk you through the highlights. The paper getting the most attention in forward-looking circles is What is the Future of Acromegaly Therapy? By Schilbach and Strasburger. This is a narrative review of late-stage clinical trials through late 2025, and the main headline is that we are in the early days of a real shift in how acromegaly is managed long-term. Oral somatostatin receptor ligands, and specifically paltusotin, are now available in the United States. For patients who have been on monthly injections for years, the prospect of switching to a daily oral pill is genuinely significant. The review also covers non-oral drugs in the pipeline, including next-generation growth hormone receptor antagonists and combination regimens designed for patients who can't hit biochemical targets on single agents. The authors are honest. Even with more options, too many patients remain inadequately controlled. But the therapeutic horizon looks meaningfully richer than it did 5 years ago. Paired naturally with that forward-looking piece is a comprehensive review of where treatment stands today, written by Castanetti and Iwachimescu. They map the full toolkit from surgery through medical therapy. The backbone of medical management is still the long-acting somatostatin receptor ligands, octreotide and lanreotide. Pasireotide, which hits a broader range of somatostatin receptors, provides better biochemical control in certain patients, but carries a real risk of hyperglycemia that needs careful management. Pegvisomant, the growth hormone receptor antagonist, is a valuable option for patients refractory to somatostatin analogs, but requires careful IGF-1 monitoring. And increasingly, clinicians are combining pegvisomant with somatostatin receptor ligands in patients who can't achieve normalization on either agent alone. The review also notes that treatment burden, the physical and psychological weight of being on chronic, often injectable therapy, is a major quality of life factor that doesn't always improve even when biochemistry is under control. The third paper I want to highlight is a practical one from Spencer Siegel and Nattigal, titled Current Controversies in Acromegaly Care. Rather than reviewing consensus, this paper leans into the unanswered questions. Diagnostic delay is still a significant problem. Some patients with acromegaly go years before the diagnosis is made, and that delay leads to measurable, preventable morbidity. The authors are intrigued by the potential for artificial intelligence tools to flag undiagnosed acromegaly earlier, but they're careful to note that the ethical and privacy dimensions of AI-based screening haven't been worked out. Other controversies the paper tackles include how often to monitor biochemistry once patients are stable, how to safely manage women with active acromegaly who want to become pregnant, an area where clinical data are genuinely sparse, and whether some patients can extend their injection intervals without losing disease control. These are real questions that come up in clinical practice, and this paper is a useful reference for navigating them. Giustina and Flaceriu contributed what is essentially the definitive complications update. The clinical message is important. Achieving biochemical control in acromegaly is necessary, but it is not sufficient. Cardiovascular disease, sleep apnea, diabetes, arthropathy, and neoplastic risk all require active surveillance and targeted management, and some of these complications can persist or progress even after growth hormone and IGF-1 are normalized. The authors recommend structured complication screening at diagnosis and at regular intervals throughout the disease course. This is not new guidance, but seeing it codified in a top-tier journal review should help set expectations for centers that are building structured acromegaly programs. Finally, Esposito and Johansson review how our understanding of acromegaly epidemiology and mortality has evolved. The reported incidence and prevalence of acromegaly have risen over the past few decades, but probably not because the disease is actually more common. The more likely explanation is that better diagnostic tools and greater physician awareness are surfacing cases that would previously have been missed or delayed. Encouragingly, mortality rates have improved substantially in contemporary cohorts where patients achieve adequate biochemical control. The excess mortality that remains is concentrated in patients with prolonged diagnostic delay or persistently elevated GH and IGF-1, another argument for catching this disease early and treating it to target. Taken together, this week's JCM issue is one of the most useful single-week drops in acromegaly science in recent memory. Oral therapies are arriving, complication management is being better codified, and the epidemiologic story is one of cautious progress. Now, zooming out to the wider rare disease industry. The biggest deal news of the week in the rare disease space involves Alnylam Pharmaceuticals, one of the most successful rare disease companies of the past decade. On June 3rd, Alnylam announced a 3-year collaboration with a startup called Inceptive Nucleics, worth up to $2 billion, with $30 million upfront in cash and equity. Inceptive was founded by Jacob Uscoreit, who was one of the authors of the famous Attention is All You Need paper, the 2017 publication that laid the mathematical foundations for the transformer architecture behind models like ChatGPT. After leaving Google Brain, Uscoreit started Inceptive to build what the company calls AI foundation models of life, large-scale machine learning systems trained on biological sequence data that can, in principle, be reused across many different drug discovery tasks. Alnylam wants to apply these models to accelerating the discovery of new RNA interference drugs. Alnylam's 2025 revenues were $3.7 billion, driven by products for rare diseases, including transthyretin amyloidosis. This deal is a signal that even the most established names in rare disease RNA medicine see AI as a core part of their next chapter. The second story involves the FDA's regulatory environment, which continues to be a source of uncertainty for rare disease developers. On June 4th, a town hall was held at the FDA's main campus in White Oak, Maryland, to hear public feedback on what's known as the Commissioner's National Priority Voucher Program. This program was put in place about a year ago by former FDA Commissioner Marty Makary. It offers dramatically accelerated drug reviews, as little as 1 to 2 months, to companies that can show their drugs align with broadly defined national priorities. At the town hall, 17 speakers representing pharmaceutical companies, patient advocacy groups, and academic organizations largely called for the program to be paused and then relaunched through formal regulatory notice and comment procedures that would allow public input on the criteria for eligibility. The main concern is that the current vague criteria around what counts as a national priority make the program vulnerable to political influence. Most speakers were not asking for the program to be eliminated. They see value in faster reviews. But they want the rules codified in a way that's more resistant to ad hoc decisions. For rare disease companies, this matters a lot because priority review pathways are disproportionately important to small molecule and biologics developers whose patient populations are too small to support traditional commercial timelines. And finally, a market perspective. Evaluate, the pharmaceutical analytics company, released its 2026 Orphan Drugs Report this week, published through Biopharma Dive on June 1st. The headline number: global orphan drug sales are projected to exceed $400 billion by 2032, representing more than 21% of all prescription drug revenue, up from about 15% in 2022. That is a remarkable trajectory. The analysis acknowledges real headwinds, including an FDA that has been more skeptical of gene therapy approvals in recent years and pricing scrutiny that has intensified across the pharma industry. But the commercial durability of orphan drugs holds up. Johnson & Johnson is projected to lead the sector with nearly $31 billion in rare disease drug revenues by 2032. For smaller rare disease developers, This macro picture is important context when approaching investors and partners. The market is growing, the unmet need is real, and the ceiling is high. Looking ahead, the next few months will be telling on several fronts. Watch for paltusotine and other oral acromegaly agents to start generating real-world adherence and efficacy data outside of clinical trials. Watch the FDA voucher program debate. Whether it gets paused, formalized, or quietly left in limbo will shape planning for NDA submissions across the rare disease pipeline. And keep an eye on how AI-enabled platforms like the Alnylam-Inceptive collaboration actually translate into candidate molecules. The science of foundation models for biology is progressing fast, and acromegaly-relevant targets could be among the beneficiaries if these approaches scale. That's the acromegaly update for this week. Stay curious, and we'll see you next Monday.